If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. I've given quite a lot of notes in your in the outline in your bulletin. I knew the day would be full, so in case we don't get to everything, you've got the gist of everything there, and that will help. And all of us need all the help we can get. Let's read this verse together, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 6, verse 4. Chapter 6, verse 4. Let's read it together, everyone. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is a very critical verse. There are other verses that we can refer to in relation to talking about what fathers are responsible for, but this verse is very critical. In that word provoke, it means to exasperate somebody. In other words, upset them. And sometimes fathers will have a way of speaking kind of directly and a little gruffly and, you know, a little bold to their children, and it gets them upset. Instead of doing that, we need to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word nurture is talking about training, and the word instruction is admonition is instruction. In other words, instructing them. A lot of times children don't do what you want them to do simply because you haven't taught them what they need to do. If you teach them what to do, then they'll do what you want them to do. And, you know, I'd like to know, what do you think when you hear the word father? What comes to your mind? Because, you know, it's Father's Day, and some have wonderful memories about their fathers, but then there are some others that don't have the fondest memories about their fathers. In other words, maybe their relationship with their father wasn't as nice as it should have been, and maybe your father was abusive, or you know, just didn't really instruct you and nurture you, and you don't have good feelings about it. Well, if you're a father today and you're a young man, you're a male, you still need to do what the Scriptures tell you to do in the Word of God, right? And so that's the reason I'm bringing this out. We have to realize that if things weren't the best in your home when you were growing up as a child, that doesn't mean it can't be the best in your home now as an adult. You can make the change. You can break, you know, what was going on, what's gone on in the past, you can break that and make it all new. And it's not easy being a father. It's really not easy, because the father usually is the major breadwinner, and you know, and is responsible before God for everything in the family, you see. So it's not an easy job. And we need to keep that in mind. And then too, there's a warning here in this passage of Scripture. There's a negative. Provoke not your children. You see, don't upset them. Don't exasperate them. And, you know, mothers tend to be kind-hearted. Mothers tend to be soothing. Mothers, you know, the child will always go to their mother. Usually when one of our children calls and I answer the phone, here's how it goes. I answer the phone, hello. And then when I realize who it is, well, how you doing? It's good to hear from you. How's things going? Fine. And right after that, is mother there? Then mother gets the phone and there's a big long conversation. You know, children always like to talk to their mothers. And And my children talk to their mother more than I get to talk to them. You know, they always want to know about mom and is she there. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." I think one of the plagues of youth today is the broken spirit. I think, they have a real problem because maybe they haven't been encouraged properly. They haven't been nurtured properly. They haven't been admonished properly. And so they, and really children really want to do what their parents expect of them. But sometimes they feel like they can't do that. They feel they're not capable of doing that. And so we have to be very careful. I would have loved if all my children were missionaries. Well, they didn't end up being missionaries. The middle daughter had a mission agency, and she just closed it down recently because 2 years ago she had a stroke, and she's just not able to multitask anymore. And so she closed it. Now, that doesn't mean they don't do things for missions. They do. But she had a whole agency and was doing things in foreign countries as well as in the USA. And I even worked with her in some of these things. All of our children have been active in church. And they've always served the Lord. And up until they left home, they always went to church. Why? Because mom and dad made sure they went to church. Of course, I had to go to church. You understand? So they felt that was, I think now they feel that was good, that they went to church. And parents, take your children to church. It's important that they learn the Word of God, that they love the Lord, that they realize walking with the Lord is one of the greatest things that could ever happen in their life. And this helps when it comes to having a broken spirit. You won't have a broken spirit if you know the Lord and the Lord's leading in your life. Things will work out. They will work out if you allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to help you. Now, one thing that helps in developing children is we need to seek to build character. And I think we need to build character more than accomplishment. We're set on accomplishment. The boy wants to be a superstar in baseball. Well, that's fine. But baseball, even if you get into the majors, it's, by the time they're still young people, they end up retiring from it. Why? Well, it's too demanding physically. What about football? You get beat around all over the place. And soccer, you may get kicked in the head. They thought it was the ball. Sorry. But if we build character and we build them into godly men and women, boys and girls, then we have something that will last. And fathers need to know the Scriptures. We need to teach the children the Scriptures. Need to read the Word of God to them when they're young and can't read, and then read with them when they get older. And it's the father's responsibility to spiritually train the children. Father is responsible. Okay? Hello? Did everybody hear me? Okay. It's your responsibility to do that. You need to teach them character. Make a list of character qualities and begin a program of instruction. What do you want? What kind of character qualities do you want? Well, you want them to be honest. And you want them to be, I don't want to develop that right here, but, you make out a list and then you talk about these qualities and how important these qualities are in the life. And we need to do that. And then we need to teach children by example. My children went to church, but I went to church too. But when I was in, you know, young in ministry, I had a bus route, and I went and picked up people and brought them to church. And a lot of times the adults did not come to church, but they sent their children to church. They weren't being the example that they should have been, and send and come and get on the bus themselves and go to church. Some did, but very few. You see, it's important that we teach our children not only by precept, tell them what to do. See, if you tell them what to do, but you're not doing it, then they don't see how it's that important. But if you tell them what to do and you are doing it, you're reinforcing it. And so example is very important. Spend time with your children. Your wife must sense that she is important to her husband. You have to spend time with your family. You have to spend time with your wife. The children need to know that you love their mother. Hello? You still listening? Okay. You need to communicate with her. And, call her on the phone. We have a little deal going on. We play phone tag. You know? Sometimes the phone is off. Right, mine is right now. And then I forget about it being off. And then, you know, later, maybe my wife calls me and I don't hear the phone because it's off. You know, I've got it on vibrate. And then sometimes I try calling her and she forgot to take hers off vibrate too. You see, we go back and forth. But you need to, if a husband and a wife have a disagreement over something, go in the bedroom and close the door and iron it out without an argument in front of the children. When you start arguing in their presence, they get nervous about it. They, you know, it bothers them. They think that something wrong is going on. And you're just having a good, healthy discussion, okay? And you still love one another. But you need to ask God to give you the gift of unlimited mercy. Sometimes parents say, I want you to do that right now. You see. And maybe they don't even know how to do it. You haven't shown them how to do it. And yet you're expecting something of them that you wouldn't want your spouse to expect of you. You see. And you know, you have to treat people properly. And your family comes first in that. Some people say, oh, he's such a nice fellow. And the children and wife are thinking in their minds, they ought to come and visit us when he's not being nice. I hope you're not that way. I hope you're the kind of father that's nice to the family as well as neighbors and friends and relatives and all. Okay? It's important that we do that. So the example is important. And the example of, you know, the husband's supposed to lead the wife. You're the one that's supposed to be in front. You see, women need a leader. They're built that way. We don't have time to go into all the details, but it's true. And God lays it down in His Word that way. Women like to be loved with authority. And you know, it's important that we do it. And then spend time with each child. Now, I know you're busy. I know Singaporeans are very busy people. I mean, you know, some of you work 12-hour shifts. And you know, unheard of hours. I did third shift one time for a week. I was so glad it was over at the end of the week. I didn't like the third shift. Didn't really like the second shift that much. I like the first shift, where you get up and you go to work when it's light and you get home before it's dark. You know, I like that. But some people have to work all different hours. And when that happens, it makes it difficult, but you still have to plan so that you can spend some time with your children. And need a family night. When the family just gets together and you do things together, We always insisted when the children got a little older, got in their teens, always insisted you have to be home for the dinner meal. Now, you might leave shortly after the dinner meal to go with the youth to do something, whatever the situation is, but you'd be there for a meal so that we can sit down together at least one meal a day and talk to one another and put the phones away. And the young people learned how to put their phone away. Adults, start practicing because they're going to be pointing it out to you. Okay? You need to learn to put your phone away. Okay? Why? Because you're not communicating with the people that are around you. That's important. You have to talk with them too. There was a little boy that was dying of leukemia. He asked his father a question. Is God as nice as you are? Dad replied, God is a lot nicer than I am. The boy replied, gee, Dad, then I know I'm going to like God a lot. Okay? So he had a good, he had a father that he really loved and appreciated. But if God is better than him, then I don't mind dying and going to be with God. I look forward to that. And you need to teach your children to avoid bad habits. It's real easy to make a habit, but it's harder to break a habit. You know, habits like, you get up in the morning, but you don't make your bed. And mommy comes in and she's upset because she then has to come behind you and make the bed. You should be, if you can sleep in the bed, you can make your bed, okay? Yeah, you can make your bed. My wife says, don't make the bed, I'll take care of that. Well, once in a while, I sneak up on her and I make the bed and she's not looking. But the problem is, the way she makes the bed is different, a little bit, just a little bit, from the way I make the bed, okay? But it's good to teach the children and to pick up their clothes, hang them in the closet, put their shoes away, whatever it is. Clean up in the house, you see. But listen, fathers, you're the one that should go around and make sure everything is done properly. Okay? Don't put everything on mom. When we were at the Bible College in the West Indies, once in a while, I would have a white glove inspection. Oh, yeah. Not just an inspection, a white glove inspection. And I had a special white glove I put on. Well, the men's dorm was always in worse shape than the ladies' dorm. I mean, the ladies were neater and cleaner, and everything was pretty much in place in the ladies' dorm. But once in a while, with a white glove inspection, I would go like this underneath the edge of the bed and come out with some cobwebs, and I'd just make sure they see them, And of course, in the men's dorm, it wasn't too much trouble finding a little dust or a little cobweb or something somewhere, And everybody enjoyed it, but I was being a daddy to them. Basically, that's what I was doing. I was being a daddy to them, away from their daddy. Letting them to realize that they have personal responsibility to take care of themselves and take care of their things and to do things in an orderly fashion. That's what it was all about. You have to encourage people to have good habits, you see. And teenagers say, I know when to stop. A person can know when to stop, but habit will not let him stop. If you have a habit, and it's not a good habit, you better work on that. I'm telling you, as a daddy, work on it. And as young people and children, don't get bad habits as young as you are. And adults, stay away from bad habits in adulthood too. Yes. You can always attach the results of a bad habit to enact. People drink, and then some become drunkards. People do drugs, some become addicts. People try cigarettes, and some smoke until they get cancer. Some people put off doing things that they ought to do around the home, and they're lazy, and it ends up they're in poverty simply because they won't get up and do things they know they ought to do. You see, fathers are the ones that point these kind of things out to their children and help them realize the importance of why things are done the way they ought to be done. And character, building character can become habit forming. In other words, you want to build character to the place that it is habit in the life of the person. Oh, I would never do that. Why? Because I was taught that isn't the right thing to do. You see. So you need to see it that your children associate also with the right kind of people. Bad friends. What happens? You throw a bad apple into a bushel of apples, and other apples will become rotten as well because of the one rotten apple that was thrown into the basket. It doesn't go the other way so easily. It's harder to go the other way. It's always better not to start a bad habit, because trying to break a bad habit is very difficult to do. And in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, the Bible says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." My wife and I used to always fellowship with older people. Well, we've become the older people now. But for many years, most of our friends that we fellowshiped with were older people, people older than us. When we went to the mission field, we were the youngest couple there. Okay? Of course, after a few years, we weren't the youngest couple there anymore, but at the beginning, we were the youngest couple. So we always asked them about things and talked with them, because it saved us heartaches and problems and disappointments in our life. So as fathers, make sure you have some friends that can talk with your children too, that are wise men and wise women. You see, always have good friends around, because sometimes a child won't come to the father or mother, but they'll come to a friend. But if you have good friends that are going to give them wise counsel, that's great, you see. And then they might come and say, "By the way, Joe came and he wanted to know about this." And, you know, "Well, what did you say?" And he tells you exactly what you would have said to him too, you see. It's important. We have to watch those that people associate with. And then I think it's always good to have family rituals or traditions. You need to build, a family life for your children. And it builds memories. It helps them. It may be a vacation occasionally. It may be going to a Bible conference occasionally. It may be, going to the zoo or the botanical garden or go fishing, whatever it is. It's something, and you laugh and have a good time and you enjoy yourself and all. Of course, always go to church. Be faithful in church. Believe the Bible. Live it in your life, you see. But you need all these things. Maybe it's just you go out and have a meal out somewhere. My children used to get so excited when we would go out to eat. And most of the time, because we had four children, we couldn't go to the real expensive place. But wherever it was, didn't make any difference. They really enjoyed it. And then we'd let them order what they wanted and made sure that they ate it. But all of this, it's important. You have to produce good habits in your children. Habits are developed by doing it and 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 continue doing it and doing it. That's how you develop good habits in life. And children have to develop those. Some adults need to work on theirs too, maybe. You know? Wouldn't hurt. Maybe the adults will learn some good habits teaching their children good habits. You see? And you need to develop good work habits in your children by giving them jobs to do. Our children didn't get an allowance, but they always had the money they needed when they needed it. In other words, we didn't give an allowance for making their bed. I think they should make the bed anyway. Straighten up their room anyway. Hey. There's some things that has to do with personal maintenance that everybody needs to learn to do and to become a habit, and they shouldn't have to be paid for that. But then we did give them money when they did some of the other things. Prepare meals. There's fellows here right now. If you had to go home and prepare a meal, you might be in trouble. You'd want to stop somewhere and buy some stuff and take it home and put it in a plate, you know. But you need to learn to cook food. Okay? Fellas need to learn that. Right. And once in a while, a husband ought to make the meal. Amen? Boy, I sure didn't get any robust amens out of that. Okay. But you see, what I'm trying to tell you is, as parents, as fathers, and as mothers, you want your children to be able to be do their own. We have to show them, teach them how to do it. And do it in the home, and they see it, and it becomes second nature to them. Some of the best homemade cookies that I've ever eaten, some of my granddaughters have made at home. Some of the best I've ever eaten. Can't go to the store and buy one any better. Made it at home. How did she know how to do that? Her father makes some of the, we call him Papa John. Papa John is a pizza distributor in the USA. We call John Weibel Papa John. Papa John could make pizza for everybody right here. And if you give him a few minutes before you start eating, he can keep up with it. He's that good. I mean, when he makes pizza, he makes pizza. Just like he's got a business of his own. And I always eat too much of it. Every time. Because he always has different kinds of pizza. Pepperoni pizza, cheese pizza, you know, whatever it is, he makes up different varieties. And just somebody just kind of help him just a little bit, cut the pizza and stick it in the oven or take it out of the oven, and man, he can put pizza out. And so what happens? Well, his children learn to do those things. John can bake a good cake from scratch. Okay? And I need more than scratch to bake a cake. Okay? So you have to develop good work habits and good learning habits in your children. And they should have regular jobs. When I was a teen, I worked. I worked for neighbors. I did newspaper. I did a lot of different things in my lifetime. And I went and painted down the street. A fella down the street had a house. He was a carpenter by trade, and he saw me one day. He said, "Would you like a job?" I said, "What kind of job you got?" He says, "I need my house painted." I was still in high school. I said, "Okay, what's the pay? What do I have to have? He said, "I'll provide all the brushes, all the rollers, everything that's needed, the paint, everything." And by myself. I painted his whole house. Outside. Scraped it down, primed it, painted it. Oh, as a teenager. We need to develop spiritual disciplines in our children. Need to make sure your children read their Bible and pray. You need to work on that. It's important that you do these kinds of things. And, you know, I really haven't gone beyond our text. What was the text verse? The positive part of it is, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's all we've been talking about. In the conclusion of the sermon, I have it all listed here. Make it easy for you. Tim Kimmel in Little House on the Freeway has 25 ways to enjoy your family. Read it over. Check it out. See if there's something there that you could put into practice in your family, in your home, and help in the nurturing and the development of your children. Fathers, you're doing a good job, but it can be better. Let's all do a better job. It's important. It's a necessity. And it's only when we do these kind of things that we can really, you know, at the end of life, sit back and smile and say, look what God has done. I haven't seen all that God's done through my family yet. We've got a great-granddaughter or son coming still in September. That's number 9. I doubt we'll have any more grandchildren, but I got a feeling we're going to have a lot of great-grandchildren. And the clan gets bigger all the time. And the thing is, every time I get them all together, I talk to all of them. And I tell them how important it is to make sure that they put God first in their life. Know Christ as their personal Savior. Read their Bible. Pray every day. Regular attendance in church. Honor the Lord with all that they have and are. It's very important, fathers and mothers, to do what God wants us to do. But make sure you take a little time along the way to do the training and to do the supervision and to do the loving, because you know you only got them about 16, 18 years and they're gone. None of ours are in our home anymore. They're gone. So whatever I was going to do with them, I had to do back years ago before they got married or before they left the house. So do your job. God bless you. I hope that you will. Dear Heavenly Father, bless you.